Hello, and welcome to the Tideway Investor Update for the first half of 2017-2018. Throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. And just to remind you, this call is being recorded. And today, I'm very pleased to present both Mark Sneesby, COO, and Adolfo Pardo de Santayana, Head of Corporate Finance. Mark, please begin.
Thank you, and afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tideway. So let me just run through some highlights for the 6 month period to 30th of September. We continue to develop our transformational health and safety program, going very well, and we've had no major injuries, which we're obviously very proud of. We mobilised, actually, apologies, on 16 sites, not 21, not 17. But we were meant to have mobilised on 16, so just a slight error in the numbers. And we are fast approaching tunnelling, which is good to hear. Costs in the period were at 283 million, taking us our total costs on the project to 829 million, all in 40-15 prices. As I'm sure you're aware, we've been active in the markets and extended our liquidity cover by 600 million in this period, which is a mix of RPI, CPI, and the US private placement. That's on top of the 1.15 we'd already raised, and Adolfo will cover a lot more of that later. And it won't be a surprise that sort of confidence in the execution of our financing and our delivery has seen a downward trajectory of credit margins. Just post-period, we did two green bonds, taking a total of 250 million. I think we're the biggest green bond issuer in the UK, which is great for everyone, especially on an environmental project like this. So just picking up on some of those themes, health, safety and well-being, as I said, there have been no major injuries recorded during the period, which obviously we're very pleased about. However, we have had three lost time injuries. That's always three too many. But we remain focused. We are significantly outperforming previous major projects, but as I said, three too many, and we continue to strive for less. We are mobilising across all of the programme at the moment, and our focus is on Right Start. And Right Start is just very simply about get it right from the very get-go. Don't wait for things to happen and then fix them. Get it right at the start, and we're seeing the benefits of that in our health and safety performance. In terms of vision, legacy and reputation, 79% of our commitments over the period are on track, and I think it's worth pointing out that's not saying that 21% aren't. Actually, we were targeting 79%, so we're hitting what we want to hit, which is good, and the legacy of the project is very important for all sorts of reasons. I think, you know, we're right in the middle of London, and as our sites start to grow, then it's very important that we work with our communities and our residents and our neighbours, and we've been very active in that over the period, very successfully. I think generally we have very good support throughout London and with our neighbours, and that's in no short way to the effort we've put in to accommodating their concerns and talking to them and keeping them informed of what we're trying to do. From a people point of view, we've done quite a bit of work on what we call our Tideway operating model, and this is all about getting some better clarity between ourselves as a client, our project manager CH2M, or now Jacobs as they are, and the main works contractors. This has led to some minor reorganisational changes, but has actually allowed us to prepare ourselves better for the big drive and delivery ahead in the coming years. We remain focused on gender diversity. We're currently at 36% female staff across the project, and we want to make that higher, and we'll keep on with that as we go. And I am speaking to you today from the Cotton Centre by London Bridge, which is our new office. Previously, we were in Paddington, but we moved back in November. So just picking up on some delivery highlights, as I said, we've mobilised on 16 of 21 sites, and two additional sites have mobilised in November, so we're pretty much up, full and up and running. consents, which was always a concern to us at the very beginning, just the sheer volume and the complexity of them, has actually gone very well, which means we're making good progress on our sites and getting permissions we need. Our dry sites at Carnwith Road, Kirtling Street and Chambers are fully mobilised, all of them 3 to 5 months earlier than the plan, which was great to see. And that's why at the moment, you know, because we have faced problems, and that's why you get on site early and tackle those problems, that we are, our construction schedule currently is in line with our regulatory baseline. In the west section, we are 5 of the 7 sites mobilised in this period, and the other 2 have mobilised now, so we're fully mobilised on west. If you were alert back in November, you may well have seen our first tunnel boring machine coming up the river, and you can see a picture of it on the screen there. That's now at Carnwith Road being assembled, ready to be lowered down its hole and start tunnelling later this year. We continue across the programme, but particularly at Hammersmith, we've done quite a lot of extensive shaft and culvert works and have actually started excavation. In Central, 6 of the 8 sites have all mobilised. Both of the TBMs required for that section are manufactured and complete, have passed their factory acceptance testing. And if you're anywhere near the river on the 8th of February, look out for them, because they're coming up the river. I don't know what time, but they are. So at Kirtling Street, where those TBMs will come to, the diaphragm walling for the shaft works is complete. And the excavation, when we reported this, has started. It's actually now fully complete, and it needs to be for the TBMs. The jetty also is nearing completion now. It was under construction when we gave this report, ready to take those TBMs. And we've commenced work on the Blackfriars CSO interception site at Blackfriars Bridge, which you may well have seen. At East, it's actually 5 sites where we've mobilised, and we were only meant to be at 5 sites, so apologies for that, but it's 5, not 6. The Chambers Wharf cofferdam has been completed, and this effectively doubles the size of the site out into the river to give us enough working space to do our works, and we've been diaphragm walling since the summer. The same proposal at King Edward Memorial Park for a cofferdam to give us land to work on in the river is progressing, and progressing ahead of schedule. We took a lot of lessons learned out of what we did at Chambers Wharf and have applied them to King Edward Memorial Park. And the 2 TBMs that we need for the east section are procured, the orders are placed, detail design is ongoing, and manufacturing has started. Okay, at that point I'll hand over to Adolfo to give you a financial update.
Thank you, Mark. So moving on to financing activity, during the 6-month period ended 30 September 2017, we continued to de-risk our financing plan by raising 600 million of new term debt, further increasing our liquidity position and locking in financing costs. And we did so in 4 different transactions, namely a 30-year, 100 million deferred draw index-linked loan that was closed in April, a 15-year, 300 million USPP that was priced in June and funded in September, a 32-year, 125 million deferred draw index-linked bond that was priced in July, and a 30-year, 75 million CPI-linked bond that was priced and drawn in August. As at 30 September 2017, the balance of shareholder equity was 490 million and shareholder loan was 694, which include the injection of 119 million in shareholder equity and 79 million drawn on the shareholder loan in the 6-month period, as well as 14 million repayment of principal on 30 September 2017. On that date, we had total liquidity in excess of 3.15 billion, comprising 700 million worth of cash, 50 million of committed and undrawn capital from shareholders, and 2.375 billion committed and undrawn debt. You can see the detailed breakdown in slide 10. As Mark mentioned earlier, post-period end, we priced a 250 million fixed-rate green bond with a maturity date of 2027 and a 200 million limited index-linked green bond with a maturity date of 2042. taking the total amount of debt raised in calendar year 2017 to 1.05 billion, and the total amount of debt raised since license award in August 2015 to 2.2 billion. Finally, also post-period end, the remaining 50 million of committed and undrawn capital from shareholders were injected into the company. The shareholders have now injected the amount committed at license award of 1.274 million in full. Moving on to the next slide, historical financial performance. During the 6 months period, Tideway reported a profit of 13.7 million compared to a loss of 30 million the previous year, with no dividends paid or proposed, as it was the case in financial year 16-17 as well. As we have reported in previous occasions, we do not consider that the reported profit in the period reflects our business performance, as it results from the movement in fair value in the Holdco Group's financial instruments, which I will describe later. Allowable costs for the 6 months period, our allowable project spend, which is measured on a cash basis, is lower than allowable cost, as the latter include the timing of accruals and unwinding of prepayment of items such as insurance or the government support package. At 30 September 2017, costs of 828 million were capitalized within the asset under construction in the statement of financial position within our accounts. This represents 283 million of costs during the period and 546 million brought forward from prior periods. Direct costs are primarily, the main works contract cost, and they also include the system integrator contract. The direct cost incurred in the period have increased significantly compared with 2016, which reflects the commencement of construction activities. In terms of indirect costs, the largest indirect cost is resource cost of 32.3 million in the period compared to 29.9 million in 2016, which includes the staff cost of those employed directly by the group or through framework contracts and the resource cost of our project manager, CH2M or Jacobs now. Other indirect costs include non-resource costs such as information systems, office, insurance, and third-party payments. The excluded costs to 30 September 2017 were 26.5 million compared to 17.1 million in 2016, which largely reflects financing costs such as interest on shareholder loans and costs related to the Holdco Group's debt financing activities. Moving on to slide 9. As I mentioned earlier, BTL has entered into long-term swaps with commercial banks to hedge the interest rate for tranches 1 to 8 of 700 million EIB loans secured in May 2016, amounting to 620 million. These swaps fix the finance cost for our regulatory period to 2030 in a cost-effective manner and ensure that we benefit from low-cost financing. The movement in fair value of these financial instruments is recognized in the income statement, but we believe that these do not represent current borrowing costs incurred for financing the project, and so, unlike our other expenditure, cannot be capitalized. Post-period end, we enter into 70 million inflation-linked swaps to partly hedge the USPP notes. Movements in fair value of these swaps have not been accounted in the financial statements for the period. As I said, these were closed post-period end. And you can find more detail in slide 16 of the investor report. In terms of tax, we have made a disregard election to HMRC effective 1st of April 2016, which means that any gains or losses arising from the movement in the fair value will be disregarded for current tax purposes. We did not recognize any taxable profits in the period, just like in 2016, it was nil as well, and the estimated current tax charge for the period is nil. In terms of cash flow, during the period, we received equity and loans from shareholders totaling 298 million and collected 19.6 million in revenue, which included 16.2 million of regulated revenue received from Thames Water and 3.4 million of other inflows, including interest and other services provided to Thames Water. The drawdowns on the USPP notes and the CPI-linked bond resulted in 375 million cash inflow. Investing activities represented the main cash outflow, including 282 million for the construction of the tunnel, partially offset by working capital movements of 32 million, driven by the significant increase in direct costs. And as I mentioned earlier, 14.2 million of principal of the shareholders' loans was repaid in September. external debt. At 30 September 2017, the Holdco Group held external debt of 375.2 million compared to nil in 2016. The difference against the amount drawn in the year is the accretion in the CPI-linked bond. And in addition, the Holdco Group had 2.375 billion worth of undrawn debt facilities. You can see a detail of our debt portfolio in the next slide. Slide 10, and I will move on to slide 11, where we describe our ratios. So we can confirm that in respect of this investor report, as of 30 September 2017, which is the test date, and by reference to the most recent financial statements that we are obliged to deliver in accordance with paragraph 1 of part A of Schedule 3 of the CTA, the senior RAR in respect of the relevant test period is equal to 0%, and since this is below the 5% threshold set out in the CTA, we are not required to report the FFO ICR and average FFO ICR. We can also confirm that the above ratio, the senior RAR, has been calculated in respect of the test date, being 30 September 2017, for which it is required to be calculated under the CTA. Moving on to other reportable matters. In July 2017, John Holland Kay, the CEO of Heathrow Airport Holdings, joined as a non-executive director. And in November 2017, Mark Corbyn, our chief financial officer, announced that he will be stepping down in 2018. Other than those two changes, there have not been any other board or relevant management changes in the period. We can confirm that there have not been any acquisitions and/or disposals in the period. And in terms of our current hedging position, as I mentioned earlier, you can see the current swap portfolio on our slide 16 in the appendices. And post-period end, we enter into 70 million inflation-linked swaps to partly hedge the US private placement notes. Finally, moving to slide 13, confirmation. We confirm that no default or trigger event has occurred and is continuing, that the borrower is in compliance with the hedging policy, that the statements set out in this investor report are accurate in all material respects, and that the insurance are being maintained in accordance with paragraph 28 of Part C of Schedule 3 of the CTA. And now I will hand over to the moderator.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, just ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while the questions are being registered. Once again, if any of today's participants have any questions, could you please use this opportunity and press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue. And then after I announce you, just ask that question. And there'll be a further pause while any questions are being registered. Okay, Adolfo and Mark, at this stage there seem to be no questions coming through, so can I please pass it back to you for any closing comments at this stage?
No, I don't think there's anything from us at this stage, thank you.
In that case, I believe this now concludes today's call, so thank you all very much for attending, and you can now disconnect your lines.